Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in the book of Acts, chapter 7, where Stephen gives the religious leaders a piece of his mind. Have you ever really wanted to give a piece of your mind to the world? Maybe you've read something on social media or watched a political struggle unfold and you really wanted to stick it to the man with some fiery rhetoric. We've all had times where we just wanted to say what needed to be said. In those moments, we either blurted it out like discharging a shotgun blast, or we held it in. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen discharges some prophetic words to the religious leaders, and although it needs to be said, these words get him killed. Nearly the entire chapter is Stephen's response to the question found in verse 1. Are these charges true? The charges, by the way, were that Stephen had been publicly saying that Jesus claimed he destroyed the temple and miraculously raised it back up. Of course, this was partially true. Jesus did say he would destroy the temple and raise it up again, but he was speaking about his body as the dwelling place of God. And he did, in fact, raise it back up when he miraculously raised from the dead. But Stephen doesn't defend himself in this speech. Instead, he turns the prosecution back on his accusers. His entire speech is about how God himself was the prize of Judaism, not the temple. God himself had come to his people, and they had rejected him. Stephen takes the religious leaders in his speech on a long journey of their own religious history, where they had rejected God's prophets time again, back when there was no temple at all. And even though they had a temple now, they were still missing God himself, just like they always had. So let's trace Stephen's speech beginning in verse 2. To this he replied, "Brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. Leave this country, your people, God said, and go to the land I will show you." So he left the land of the Chaldeans, and he settled in Haran. After the death of his father, God sent him to this land where you are now living. He gave him no inheritance here, not even enough ground to set his foot on. But God promised him that he and his descendants after him would possess the land, even though at that time Abraham had no child. God spoke to him in this way, "For 400 years, your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves," God said. "And afterward, they will come out of that country and worship me in this place." Okay, that's a lot of history crammed into a few verses. So what was Stephen's point here? Why is he telling them all this? Well, Stephen wants them to know that God called a pagan and settled him in a foreign land. They were pilgrims by history, and for 400 years, they did not have a place to call their own. They were slaves. Here's the point. During this time, God didn't give them a land or a temple because he was trying to get them to focus on him, not the place, not the land, and not a building. And afterwards, the passage said, they will come out of that country and worship me in this place. The land was just a place to worship God, but they had a nasty habit of rejecting God every time God started to work in their midst. Let's jump into verse 9, where Stephen introduces Joseph. Because the patriarchs, well, that's the 12 tribes to us, were jealous of Joseph, they sold him as a slave into Egypt. But God was with him and rescued him from all his troubles. He gave Joseph wisdom and enabled him to gain the goodwill of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So Pharaoh made him ruler over Egypt and all his palace. Notice that the patriarchs, or the representatives of the 12 tribes, actually rejected God's chosen one, the savior of his own people, Joseph. This is going to be a recurring pattern in his speech. Each example becomes, for Stephen, like a boxer giving a jab, setting us up for the knockout punch at the end of the chapter. But he ends Joseph's story stating, that they were all buried in Egypt. It wasn't the place that mattered. It was the God who was trying to save them. Verse 18 picks up the new story. Then a new king, to whom Joseph meant nothing, came to power in Egypt. He dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our ancestors by forcing them to throw out their newborn babies so that they would die. Let's pause here. Nothing that Stephen is saying here is by accident. I mean, so far, the parallels are amazing. The people of Israel were subdued by the Egyptians during this next part of the story, just like the people in Stephen's day were being subdued by the Romans at Jesus' time. But even more amazing is that the slaughter of the innocents occurred when Moses was born, just like it did at the birth of Jesus. And both of these saviors of the Jewish people would escape these massacres. And Stephen is hoping the religious leaders will understand the pattern. But now Stephen introduces Moses in verse 20. At that time, Moses was born, and he was no ordinary child. For 3 months he was cared for by his family. When he was placed outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him and brought him up as her own son. Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. Moses was perfectly placed as the next savior of his people to rescue them. But when he approaches two Israelites fighting, they reject him as a savior too. Verse 27. But the man who was mistreating the other pushed Moses aside and said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us?" Again, the people reject God's special servant, the one who is supposed to be their savior. But 40 years later, God appears to Moses again, this time in a burning bush, and tells him to go back and rescue his people. Verse 34, "I have indeed seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and come down to set them free. Now come, I will send you back to Egypt." Stephen interjects in verse 35. This is the same Moses they rejected with the words, "Who made you ruler and judge?" He was sent to be their ruler and deliverer by God himself through the angel who appeared to him in the bush. He led them out of Egypt and performed wonders and signs in Egypt, at the Red Sea, and for 40 years in the wilderness. This is the Moses who told the Israelites, "God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your own people." You can hear the shock in Stephen's words. This is the same Moses they rejected with the words, "Who made you ruler and judge?" The answer was, God did. They just didn't care. Verse 39, "But our ancestors refused to obey him. Instead, they rejected him, and in their hearts they turned back to Egypt." Stephen goes on to talk about how people not only rejected Moses, but rejected God himself, and then started worshiping idols. But in verse 44, he comes to the conclusion. Stephen, like a boxer, has been jabbing, 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 working the ribs. And in verse 44, he summarizes all of this with an uppercut and reintroduces the temple, because the temple is what they had replaced God himself with. The temple had become their idol. It had become a replacement for God himself. Verse 47, "But it was Solomon who built a house for him. However, the Most High does not live in houses made by human hands. As the prophet says, 'Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool.' What kind of house will you build for me?" says the Lord. Jab, jab. And here comes the knockout punch. Verse 51. "You stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your ancestors did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law that was given through angels, but have not obeyed it." Wow, them's fighting words, but they were the right words. And sometimes the right words lead to death. The religious leaders were so infuriated, they threw their hands up over their ears. They tore their garments. They wished they could tear Stephen to pieces. They wish they could stop their ears from his words. But even then, as they rushed at him to take him, kill him, and stone him to death, he said, Lord Jesus, lay this charge not against them. They killed Jesus, and they'll kill Stephen, but they'll never be able to silence the message of grace that God was offering to his people.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.